Since April of 1985, this is the DX Audio Service.
Welcome to the National Radio Club's DX Audio Service for December 2013. This is issue number 347. I'm your host, Fred Vobey. The address for the DX Audio Service is 706 Mackenzie Drive. That's spelled M-A-C-K-E-N-Z-I-E. And that's in Lima, Ohio, 45805. My email address for general inquiries is fvobe, that's F-V-O-B-B-E, at realoldiesradio.com. My telephone number for short calls is 419-228-6223. That number is not to be used to leave musings to the members or to leave reports for the DX Audio Service. The musings number is 419-741-0205. A yearly subscription to the DX Audio Service for U.S.-Canadian members is $30, and the magazine is now published on compact discs. To subscribe or renew, make a check payable to the National Radio Club, Incorporated, and send them to me at the address that I just mentioned, or you can log on to our website at www.nrcdxas.org and sign up using PayPal. If you're on the internet, you can sign up to EDXN and get your DX Audio Service in MP3 format. A subscription to EDXN is only $15. Just point your browser to www.e-dxn.com and subscribe online with PayPal. But subscribe only if you're able to download and navigate a website without anyone else's assistance. Well, we've got a lot to cover on this edition of the DX Audio Service, so let's jump right into the AM Switch column. From Los Angeles, here's Dave Alpert.
Welcome to the December issue of the AM Switch. We have three editions of the Switch, starting off with volume 81, number 6, as follows. Construction permits expired and canceled. 1430 KCWK, Laughlin, Nevada. The CP for a new station expired on September 28th and is deleted. 1490 KBZB, Alpine, Texas. The CP for this station expired on October 6th and is now deleted. Two new station CPs are set to expire. 1240 in Prescott, Arizona expires October 26th, and WSGD 1230 Somerville, West Virginia expires October 29th. Off the air, we say farewell to Farwell, Texas, 830 KMUL, as the license was canceled at the station's request, effective September 29th. So now their call letters are deleted. 1150 KDEF, Albuquerque, New Mexico, filed a late license renewal application after the old license had expired and the station was deleted. The station is still silent and has been since June 2nd. We'll keep an eye on this one and see if it comes back. 1440 KELG, Manor, Texas, was granted an STA to broadcast while challenging license cancellation for failure to file for renewal. 1560 KTXZ, West Lake Hills, Texas, has been granted an STA, same situation as KELG. And 1600 and 1600 KOKE, Pflugersville, Texas, was also granted an STA for the same reason as KELG 1440. And the reason we compare these stations to KELG is because they're all owned by the same fellow who has been having serious health issues, and the FCC is apparently being more understanding in this matter. Changes to existing stations. Construction permits on the air. 650 KSRO, Ashland, Massachusetts. Their construction permit for U4 1500 day and 100 watts night is on the air. WSRO was 1500 day and 62 watts at night. Changed the city of license for 1480 KTHS, Green Forest, Arkansas. They filed a CP to change city of license from Berryville, and that has been approved and is on the air. No changes in actual facilities. Applications for construction permits granted. 880 KLRG, Sheridan, Arkansas, granted a CP for U2, 50 kilowatts day, 200 watts night, 31,000 watts critical hours, dropping their night power by 20 watts after moving to a new site. 1110 WOMN, Franklinton, Louisiana, granted CP to move down the dial to 1100 with U4, 50,000 watts day, 120 at night. They're presently D1, 1,000 watts, so this is a good move for them. 1160 WCXI, Fenton, Michigan, just south of Flint. Granted CP for U4, 15,000 watts day, 215 watts night. The station is now U3, 1,000 watts day and night, and this change moves the station's transmitter to the west of Wixom and shoots the signal into the northwest suburbs of Detroit. There's some speculation that the WPON site will also move to this location. 1210 KGYN, Guymon, Oklahoma, granted a CP for U7, 50,000 watts day, 10,000 watts night, with critical hours power of 39,000 watts. They are U2, 10,000 watts day and night. 1230 WSKY, Asheville, North Carolina, is granted a CP for a new site, diplexing with one tower of WISE 1310. WSKY will remain U1, 1 kilowatt day and night. Applications for construction permits received. 720 KFIR, Sweet Home, Oregon, applies for U1, 10,000 watts day, 225 watts night. KFIR is now U1, 10,000 watts day, 184 at night. And they're going to be co-located with KTHH 990 in Albany, Oregon. 1150 KRMS, Osage Beach, Missouri, has a CP for U1, 840 watts day, 55 watts night, moving to a new site. An older application said only the daytime site was moving, but that was because someone messed up the paperwork the first time. 1220 WSRQ, Sarasota, Florida, has a CP for U4, 1,000 watts day, 39 watts night. They were U4, 1,000 day, and 159 at night, but they had to lose the night power to move to a new site. But now they've reapplied to modify this to U4, 1,000 watts day, and only 4 watts from yet another new site using two towers, one diplexed with WWPR, 1490, Bradenton, Florida. Let's hope they don't move again, as their night power will be in negative numbers. Special Temporary Authority, 960 WRNS, Kingston, North Carolina, is granted an STA for U2, 4,000 watts day and 1,000 watts night due to transmitter problems. And 1340 WMTE, Manistee, Michigan, is granted Special Temporary Authority for U1, 500 watts day and night from an alternate site. Applications to extend existing STAs were received from KWOA 730, Worthington, Minnesota, for U1, 350 watts day, 159 watts night, using a temporary long-wire antenna. KKOL 1300, Seattle, Washington, for a synchro transmitter operating D1, 2500 watts. WLAY 1450, Muscle Shoals, Alabama, to operate 60 watts from a temporary yet unknown antenna. And WINW 1520, Canton, Ohio, with a temporary long wire antenna. Silent stations, formerly silent stations, informing the FCC they are back on the air. 750 WPDX, Clarksburg, West Virginia, was silent since July 10th, and they're back on as of October 18th. 1040 KURS, San Diego, California, was off since October 25th, 2012, but have been back on as of October 17th. 1050 WMSG, Oakland, Maryland, was silent since August 12th, but back on September 22nd at low power. 1130 WRRL, Raynell, West Virginia, was silent since October 29th, 2012, back on as of September 4th. And 1560 WMBH, Joplin, Missouri, was silent since February 26th, but is back on the air October 17th with an STA. These stations have informed the FCC they are temporarily silent. 850 WKGE, Johnstown, Pennsylvania, silent again due to transmitter problems. 910 WSRP, Jacksonville, North Carolina, silent due to financial issues. 1060 WGSB, Mabane, North Carolina, off the air because of financial problems. 1160 KRDY, San Antonio, Texas, a Radio Disney station, is silent, pending a sale. 1170 WDEK, Lexington, South Carolina, is silent due to losing their transmitter site. They've applied for a CP to move to a new site. 1220 WREV, Reidsville, North Carolina, is off for financial issues. 1290 Radio Disney, WDZY, Colonial Heights, Virginia, silent due to a pending sale. 1370 WLLN, Lillington, North Carolina, is off for financial reasons. 1410 WMSX, Brockton, Massachusetts, has been silent since October 15th, but has a CP to move to Dedham, Massachusetts, and plan to be ready to apply to cover that CP within 30 days. 1460 WDDY, Albany, New York. This Radio Disney station has been off the air for the past 2 months, awaiting a sale, as has 1640 WKSH, Sussex, Wisconsin, silent pending a sale. DX Audio Service member Ron Schiller writes, he took a run up to Cedar City, Utah, on October 22nd, and confirms that both KOBY 940 and KENT 1400 are silent, the latter contrary to a report published in DX News. However, there is a relay of KZNU 1450 St. George operating on 1400 from, he thinks, Cedar City. It IDs as KZNU 1450 and 93.1 FM, no mention of 1400 with a talk format. Thanks, Ron. FCC info is not always accurate, so it's good to hear from members on the ground who can confirm what's really happening. According to the FCC, the license of KOBY 940 was canceled on November 19, 2012, at the licensee's request. It's not on the FCC silent list because it's on the totally gone list. The FCC also says KENT 1400 was silent from February 6th to June 19th of this year and was sold in May to the same folks who own KZNU 1450, among other stations. So perhaps it actually is KENT that you heard relaying KZNU. The KENT license transmitter site is south of Parowan, the city of license, about a third of the way to Cedar City along I-15. Wouldn't be the first time a station like this never gave a local ID. Moving on to AM switch number 8107. We start off with call changes. 970 KJMX Florence, South Carolina. Changes to WWRK. 1370 WLFZ Fort Campbell, Kentucky. Changes back to WEGI. From what we can tell, they didn't use WLFZ on the air while they had it. And 1400 WWRK, Darlington, South Carolina, changes calls to WJMX. New station on the air, 1060 WFOY, Sparks, Nevada. The CP for this new station is now on with U4, 10,000 watts day, 250 at night. Changes to existing stations, construction permits on the air and fully licensed. 840 KARS, Belen, New Mexico, as their CP for U1, 1,800 watts day and 30 watts at night on the air. They moved from 860 and were U1, 1,300 watts day and 186 at night. After dropping the towers, Boss Radio 930 KHJ, Los Angeles, California's CP for a new site is on the air. They remain U2, 5,000 watts day and night. The new site is between Glendale and Los Angeles and is non-directional day and directional to the south at night. 1300 KAZN, Pasadena, California, has their CP for U4, 23,000 watts a day and 4,200 watts at night on the air by consolidating their former two-site operation at the old daytime site. 1470 WCLA Claxton, Georgia, has their CP for U1, 1,000 watts day, 170 watts night on the air. STAs, 610 WSVA Winchester, Virginia, granted an STA for U1, 380 watts day, 125 watts night, 24 hours from the day antenna site. 1070 KATQ Plenty Wood, Montana, granted an STA for U1, 3,750 watts day, 50 watts at night due to transmitter problems. WINA, Charlottesville, Virginia, applies for an STA to operate with a pattern at variance. 1280 WHVR, Hanover, Pennsylvania, granted an STA for U1, 1,250 watts day, 125 watts night during tower work. 1310 WSRB, Canandaigua, New York, granted an STA for U3, 1,000 watts day and 350 watts night, and will operate with a day pattern 24 hours during work on the night pattern. 1440 WVEI, Worcester, Massachusetts, granted an STA to operate with a pattern at variance for testing. 1460 WBNS, Columbus, Ohio, granted an STA for U1, 1,250 watts day and 250 watts night, or U1, 5,000 watts day and 250 watts night as they perform tower work. 1590 WASB, Broxport, New York, applies for STA for D3, 1,000 watts. WASB says they need 8 weeks to repair their night pattern and can't adjust the transmitter to run low power non-directional at night. Silent stations. 1490 KJNT, Jackson, Wyoming, was silent since November 11, 2012, but they came back to life October 26th. 1500 WQMS, Quitman, Mississippi, just went silent on October 21st, citing problems with antenna. And finally, here's AM switch number 81, issue 8, starting off with CPs for new stations completed and moving towards licensing. 1380 KVSM, Santa Maria, California, applies for a license to cover their CP for new station, which is U2, 650 watts day and 500 watts night. And speaking of CPs, here's one which has expired and is now deleted from the database. 1240 in Prescott, Arizona. The CP for this new station expired and has now been deleted. It was to be U1, 1,000 watts day and night. Applications for new construction permits. 1330 WWRV, New York, New York, applies for U4, 10,000 watts day and night from a new site, diplexing with WZRC, 1480. They were U4, 10,000 watts day and 5 kilowatts at night. Applications to amend CPs. 1580 KGAL, Lebanon, Oregon, is licensed for U3, 1,000 watts day and night, and had a CP for U4, 7,500 watts day and 1,000 watts night. Now KGAL wants to amend the CP to U2, 5,000 watts day and 1,000 at night. Amendments to applications for CPs. 1310 WRSB, Canandaigua, New York, is licensed for U4, 1,000 watts day and night, and has applied for U4, 2,500 watts day, 1,000 watts night. Now, WRSB has amended the application to U4, 2,100 watts daytime and 1,000 watts nighttime. 1340 KRLV, Las Vegas, Nevada, licensed for U1, 1,000 watts day and night, and had applied for U1, 1,000 day, 920 night from a new site. KRLV now amends that application to U1, 1,000 watts day and 880 at night. 1380 KRCM, Shenandoah, Texas, licensed for U1, 2,800 watts day and 60 at night, and has a CP for U4, 22,000 watts day and 50 at night, and an application to modify the CP to U5, 22,000 watts day and 67 at night. So now, KRCM amends that application to U5, 22,000 watts day and 43 watts at night. Special Temporary Authority, 1280 KFAU, Gardner, Maine, has been granted an STA for U1, 5,000 watts day, 1,250 watts night for pattern switcher problems. 1310 KTCK, Dallas, Texas, is granted an STA to operate with reduced nighttime power due to pattern trouble, which they believe to result from arcing problems in the phaser cabinet. KTCK is currently operating with U4, 15,000 watts day and 5,000 watts night. And here's a DX Audio Service trivia question. What three-letter call sign once occupied 1310 in Dallas? Call the Musings line and see if you can answer the question. Let's check out the silent stations list. These are formerly silent stations informing the FCC they're back on the air, and they include 580 KZMX Hot Springs, South Dakota. Silent since October 26th, back on as of October 29th. 930 WEZZ Monroeville, Alabama, was off since November 8th, 2012. They're back on the air as of November 5th. 1060 KIPA, Hilo, Hawaii, has been silent since November 20th, 2012, and now KIPA is back on the air as of November 5th. Also in our 50th state, 1180 KORL in Honolulu has been silent since December 31st, 2012, but they're now back on as of October 5th. How many of you have a Hawaiian station in your logs? 1370 WPAZ, Pottstown, Pennsylvania, has been off since November 11th, 2012, and is back on the air as of November 1st. Per National Radio Club member Dave Schmidt, it's got WORD-FM programming on it, which is religious and is not using its night power authorization. 1490 KFCR Custer, South Dakota, has been silent since April 26th and is now back on the air. 1490 KYZS Tyler, Texas, went silent September 19th, but they're back on. And 1600 WXMY Saltville, Virginia, which has been silent since October 2012, is back on the air as of October 21st of this year. Stations informing the FCC they are now silent. One to report, 1330 KMBI Spokane, Washington, went silent on November 5th after vandalism and burglary at transmitter site, resulting in key equipment being damaged and stolen. What happened was that copper thieves broke in and took anything copper, which included transmission lines, the ground system, coils, and you name it, they grabbed it. And one final item we'll call auxiliary facilities. 780 WBBM Chicago, Illinois applies for a CP to use U1 12,500 watts day and night from the WSCR 670 transmitter site as an auxiliary transmission facility. Some AM stations are starting to make plans to have separate sites in times of emergencies, as demonstrated during Hurricane Katrina and last year during Superstorm Sandy. Having one location for transmission can leave a station vulnerable. Having two locations removes some of the risks. Before we wrap up the December edition of AM Switch, just a few words on the recent tornado outbreak in the Midwest. There was a report that 590 WKZO had one of their towers folded in half from the winds. In hard-hit Peoria, Christian WCIC 91.5's slogan is Love Rebuilds, and they'll likely be rebuilding after weather damage. In fact, WCIC's PD, Scott Wheeler, said his house was completely destroyed. Blaine Thompson's Indiana Radio Watch shares the news about a studio building being damaged at DLC Media's Country 1580 WAMW, Washington, Indiana, as well as its translator at 95.9 and sister classic hits WAMW 107.9. Blaine caught Emmis broadcasting in Indianapolis, simulcasting warnings on News Talk WIBC FM 93.1 on all its indie market stations. And lastly, Star Radio's Rock Cat 105.5 WYKT, licensed to Wilmington, Illinois, was clobbered by a twister and is still silent. Keep in mind that we love to hear from you with your observations and information, and be sure to let us know about silent stations. You can call the Musings line or send a card or letter to Fred. His address is at the start of the magazine. I'm Dave Alpert, wishing happy holidays to all of our members. Here's hoping for a great 2014, DX and otherwise. And that goes for you too, Mark Durenberger. Let's go to Minneapolis now.
Thank you, Dave, and may we be among the first to wish you a very happy holiday season and a happy new year. We're back with the second part of our recent search into the airwaves of Canada using a unique form of directional antenna called a double delta. Not hard to build. The entire antenna requires 120 feet of real estate in a straight line and a couple of 20-foot poles to get the wire in the air. If you haven't reviewed this antenna, let us know and we can send you further information. What we can tell you is that it works. We're capturing a group of stations from the Canadian prairies of Alberta, Saskatchewan, and Manitoba, primarily. If you keep these IDs, you would add them to the earlier March 2012 band scan, in which we snatched the signals from the Toronto-Quebec megalopolis. Well, last month on this scan, we made it through 1010. We're, of course, discarding the locals and U.S. clears and focusing only on Canadians, but at the end of this report, we may have time for a few rare domestic catches. We move to 1040, where one thoroughly expects WHO Des Moines to blanket the channel, but when we adjusted the antenna directivity north, we were able to null out WHO to the point that a Canadian came up. No ID here, but sports analysis with the familiar Canadian accent lilt. Maybe a listener can ID this for us. The Vancouver outlet is not a candidate. That seems to be French. The Sault Ste. Marie station does country, so I just don't know about this one. Anyway, 1040 from Canada.
And I think he'll stick around through the preseason. But Hunter Shinkarak has scored already. They've skated him with Kessler and Burrows. And, you know, David Booth isn't able to play. And again, we're getting ahead of ourselves. We don't know. I was at the morning skate this morning when he came out, skated around a couple of laps. You know, coaches blew the whistle. They did one drill. And David Booth headed for the locker room. And, you know, didn't appear to be in pain, but just had a look of disdain on his face, I think, realizing, you know, I was in this situation this time last year at training camp, and that derailed his season. We know that last year was a write-off for David Booth, so, you know, unlikely to play on Monday, and then they go back-to-back Tuesday. You know, let's revisit it, but is David Booth going to be ready for the opening night? Who knows with David Booth?
On 1050, CHUM Toronto and CFYN are in a mix. Then we hear French language station CKSB coming up from Winnipeg.
Bonsoir, c'est Nick Mubarak. Le dirigeant chinois déchu, Bo Xilai, vient d'être reconnu coupable de corruption, détournement de fonds publics et abus de pouvoir. L'ancien secrétaire général du Parti communiste chinois, Chongqing, était notamment accusé d'avoir tenté d'étouffer le rôle de son épouse, Bu Kalai, dans le meurtre commis en 2011 de Neil Haywood, un homme d'affaires britannique, d'avoir perçu plus de 3 millions de dollars de pots de vin et détourné près de 7 autres millions prévus pour un projet public de construction. Au Kenya, deux Canadiens, dont une diplomate, figurent parmi les 39 personnes qui ont été tuées lors d'une attaque dans un centre commercial de Nairobi. Plus de 150 personnes ont aussi été blessées.
All the way now to 1140 to share CHRB's Christian music. Again, no ID, but CHRB operates 46 kilowatts from High River, Alberta. Sounds like a local. And on 1190, the end of a Toronto Blue Jays game from the Blue Jays Network, CFSL is in Weyburn, Saskatchewan with 5 kilowatts.
Homeowners helping homeowners with expert advice. This copyrighted broadcast is presented by authority of Rogers Blue Jays Baseball Partnership and may not be reproduced or retransmitted in any form. And the accounts and descriptions of this game may not be disseminated without the express written consent of Rogers Blue Jays Baseball Partnership or the Blue Jays Radio Network. For Jerry Howard, Jack Morris, Tom Young, Derek Brandeo, and Frank Head, good night.
Then we found CJRB on 1220. They do 10 kilowatts from Boissevain, Manitoba.
Plus, eligible Costco members get an extra $1,000. It's simple. You pay what we pay. Only during Ford employee pricing. It ends September 30th, and it's only at your Ford store. See paper for details.
This is CJRB News.
Good evening, I'm Corey Knute. The councillor for the Arden of Cornwallis remains committed to improving water quality in rural Manitoba.
On 1250, there's a promo for MJ's Cafe and Trading Post and CHSM's Trading Post, located in Steinbach, Manitoba.
Every Thursday during the Trading Post at 11:30, we'll be Write it down. You'll need it later that day.
You could win $20 to MJ's Cafe with Trading Post Thursdays on AM 1250 Radio.
This is AM 1250 News.
Good evening, I'm Senator
Frank Clinton. The White House.
And foreigners are among the casualties of the attack at the shopping mall in Kansas City.
Every Thursday during the Trading Post at 11:30 on the turn of the day. Write it down. You'll need it later that day.
You could win $20 to MJ's Cafe with Trading Post Thursdays on AM 1250 Radio.
This is AM 1250 News.
Good evening, I'm Senator Frank Clinton.
The White House.
And foreigners are among the casualties of the attack at the shopping mall in Kansas.
Here's a signal from Winnipeg, CFRW on 1290.
Every play live. Now let's break it down. This is the official Winnipeg Jets postgame show on your home of the Winnipeg Jets.
TSN 1290.
TSN1290.ca.
Your first source for exclusive postgame interviews straight from the dressing room is right here, right now. Here's your host, Rick Ralph.
Birchwood Chevrolet Buick GMC game day here on the home of the Winnipeg Jets. TSN 1290 and TSN1290.ca. Along the TSN 1290 radio network, Rick Ralph and Adam Wasen with you as the Winnipeg Jets don't pick up an extra point here in preseason action.
That Winnipeg station delivers 10 kilowatts, not that far away from us. A short blurb from Ottawa's CIWW, just enough to copy it. CIWW is a mild 50 kilowatts, but a long way away.
1310 News at 11 o'clock.
Ottawa's only all-news radio station. This is 1310 News.
Steve John Kerry. He's issued a statement reacting to Saturday's attack on a shuttle hall in Nairobi, Kenya. BC's Dana Hughes reports.
Then to 1330 in search of CJYM. We found it. CJYM comes up from Rosetown, Saskatchewan, with 10 kilowatts. All the way to 1550 and CBE, 10 kilowatts from Windsor, Ontario. Mostly a mix, however. Not enough for an ID, but they're the only Canadian on their clear channel. They're fighting it out with a lot of junk from the U.S. side.
CBFTM got appreciated. We have a broadcasting subsidy. Can't wait to try to keep the community in harmony. My contribution agenda program from the Super Base of the Situation at the Hazard. Both program to our students.
And the same thing is happening on 1600. CHNR makes a brief appearance as we hear a snippet of Canadian news from the noise. CHNR is 10 kilowatts, again the only Canadian on 1600, but again fighting for intelligibility with a plethora of American signals.
As Prime Minister, since two Canadians were killed, one a diplomat. BBC's Mark Boyle, who was along with African Union forces in Somalia. He spoke to a senior member of the extremist group Al-Shabaab.
And that's it, the conclusion of a brief and probably semi-unuseful band scan looking into Canada from a central Minnesota location. It was a late summer evening and DX conditions were not yet obtaining, but we did our best. And we have a few minutes left, so let me add a couple of other catches from the States. These were totally unexpected and new to us at our mobile listening post. Most of them seem to come off the side of the antenna. Here's a brand new station, WBKK 820, just north of us here in Minnesota. And with the antenna pointing north and nulling from the south, the usual pest, Dallas, is not in here.
Yeah.
AM 820 WBKK, Wilton, Bemidji, and all of northern Minnesota.
CBS News, I'm Tim Lutzinger. The Sinaloa-based milk people also bought chances behind that deadly attack on a mall.
Normally on 890 WLS Chicago, of course, but we are hearing Lisbon, North Dakota, KQLX.
Integrated marketing.
This remains clear skies can be seen across the listening area tonight. Overnight low temperatures will drop down to 43 degrees with winds from the southeast at 5 to 15 miles per hour.
Then there's KDSJ, Deadwood, South Dakota, way over in the Black Hills. Long way away with a kilowatt at 980, but pointed kind of in our direction. From Langdon, North Dakota, comes the mighty KNDK with 40 watts. They're, 150 miles away, I guess?
Tony here from the Co-op Truck Stop. Let us fill your tank and wash your windows every time. Full service at the Co-op Truck Stop, located on Highway 14 between Morden and Winton.
KNDK Langdon, Maverick 105, KAOC-FM, Cavalier, the borderland's most wanted country.
This one's quite a surprise. WTAM is not in here. Instead, WZFG near Fargo with 440 watts.
Hey, Sunday or Thursday night, you book one night in a two-bedroom, one-bath classic condo, you'll get your second night free
at Chase on the Lake, Leech Lake, Walker, Minnesota. Just go to chaseonthelake.com, use the promo code SCOTT, or call them at 888-CHASE-06. 888-CHASE-06.
Serving faith, family, freedom, and free enterprise at AM 1100 and flagfamily.com. This is The Flag, WCFG, Dilworth, Fargo, Morehead.
With SRN News, I'm Gordon Griffith. A Somali militant group linked to Al-Qaeda is claiming responsibility for a deadly attack.
From Crookston, Minnesota, up toward the Canadian border, with 500 watts, KROX, another new catch.
It's the Plouffe swung on his sharply towards shortstop, Jed Lowry on one hop. He'll throw to first and retire Plouffe. It keeps Dozier at second base. And there are two outs for Oswaldo Arcia, and we'll pause 10 seconds for station identification on your home for Twins baseball.
Your sports leader. The voice of the valley since 1948. 1250 AM, KROX Crookston.
Welcome back to the Oakland Coliseum. Oswaldo Arcia is the batter.
Back to the Black Hills area on 1380. Rapid City gives us KOTA. Directional at night with 5 kilowatts, but it's pointed due north, not toward us. Another new catch, Roseau, Minnesota, right on the Canadian border. KRWB, 1 kilowatt at night, and their antenna is pointed directly away from us on 1410.
It's the Plouffe swung on, hit sharply towards shortstop, Jed Lowry on one hop. He'll throw to first and retire Plouffe. It keeps Dozier at second base. And there are two out for Oswaldo Arcia, and we'll pause 10 seconds for station identification on your home for Twins baseball.
You're listening to KRWB, Roseau, real rock and roll for the Northland. 1410 AM and translating on K275 BB.
The Oakland Coliseum, Oswaldo Arcia is the batter.
From Grand Forks, North Dakota, north of Fargo, on 1440, this is another pretty good catch for the distance with 300 watts. KKXL.
When we come together, we become part of something bigger than us all. For several relatives, visit RedCross.org, the American Red Cross.
The fan for the Red River Valley is 1440 AM, KKXL, Grand Forks.
Fox Sports trending now.
And finally up at 1580 from Evansville near Casper, Wyoming, with 220 watts. It's either KLNQ, or it may be that their new call is KKTS. And that concludes our December band scan. Mark Dernberger for the DX Audio Service. Hope to get back in voice for the new year. I hope you have a wonderful holiday season, and we'll see you around the corner with another, hopefully another 12 months of our visits. The highlight for me this year, of course, was the joint NRC convention, IRCA, Minnesota DX Club, and the WTFDA in August in Minneapolis. And it was so nice to meet so many of you. We hope to connect with you again in about 30 days. Until then, Happy New Year and good listening, DXers.
To finish up side one of this magazine, I'd like to read an article from the New York Times titled "Trying to Outrun the Cardinals' Long Reach." This article is written by David Waldstein on October 29th of 2013. About 7 p.m. Central on Wednesday, a voice will declare on a radio wave transmitted at 1120 kHz, "This is KMOX, the voice of St. Louis." And millions of homes from Denver to Alabama and Louisiana to North Dakota will be able to hear game number 6 of the World Series come to life on AM radio. The penetrating strength of KMOX, a powerful radio station in St. Louis with a tradition of Hall of Fame broadcasters, has helped turn countless families into Cardinals fans since 1926 when it broadcast its first game. With a 50,000-watt signal originating from a transmitter across the Mississippi River in Illinois, KMOX is said to be heard in 44 states and as far away as the Netherlands, East Africa, Guam, spreading the gospel of St. Louis Cardinals baseball across the planet. The signal stretches to truly remote locales only in rare static-filled instances. But in a swath of North America, from New Orleans to Canada, the signal can be heard so reliably at night that an entire region became enamored with the team. When Jack Buck died in 2002, President Bill Clinton sent a letter to Buck's son Joe, a former KMOX broadcaster and currently Fox's play-by-play announcer, explaining how he had listened to Jack Buck and Harry Carey doing Cardinals games on a transistor radio hidden beneath his pillow in Hope, Arkansas, more than 450 miles away. The power of that radio station meant so much to countless people across this country, Joe Buck said. People riding on tractors or sitting on the porch, it was a part of the soundtrack to their summer. Supposedly, it still is, despite the proliferation of television and internet access. But can it really still be heard clearly in other states, without the harsh accompaniment of static and interference from other stations trying to muscle in on the signal? Surely this must be some exaggeration. To put it to the test, I set out in my rental car on Sunday, the day of Game 4 of the World Series between the Cardinals and the Boston Red Sox, and headed south. The radio tuned to 11:20 a.m. to see if I could outdrive the signal before the end of the game. I even left Busch Stadium 2.5 hours early, wondering if, before long, the signal would deteriorate into a fuzzy, frustrating mash of crossing signals somewhere across southeastern Missouri. What happened was a 600-mile, round trip, 12-hour, five-state radio odyssey that illustrated, if nothing else, the lasting power of the AM radio band and the usefulness of gas stations, energy drinks, and coffee. Busch Stadium, 4:30 p.m. Central. The signal for the pregame show is strong and clear as I leave the parking lot. Certainly no other baseball writer in the country is heading away from Busch Stadium at this moment. The plan during daylight is to go through the pretty farmland in southern Illinois, staunch Cardinal territory, and then cross back over the Mississippi River into Missouri to accelerate the trip on an interstate highway. On Route 3 near tiny Red Bud, Illinois, 51 miles south of St. Louis, news of Shane Victorino's back injury is transmitted over the car speaker. The weather is clear, and the sun is starting to dip toward the horizon. This is significant. As I go over a big river on Route 150, I hear the first distinct crackles of static. AM, or amplitude modulation, signals are susceptible to interference from numerous objects, especially as they weaken away from their source. Within minutes along Route 51 in Missouri, the signal is virtually lost. The car is only 100 miles from the signal tower, and the radio sounds as if it's broadcasting a shower. This is going to be a pointless exercise, I said to myself. I'll be back at Busch Stadium by the fourth inning looking for a new story idea. But anyone who has fiddled with an AM radio at night understands that after the sun sets, the whole world comes alive between 535 and 1705 kilohertz. AM radio waves have unique properties that allow them to travel around the globe. But their ability to stretch beyond the horizon, instead of shooting off into space, has to do with the way they interact with the upper layers of the atmosphere, called the ionosphere. According to Professor Ari Niori, the chairman of the Electrical and Systems Engineering Department at Washington University in St. Louis, the sun's rays ionize part of the atmosphere, called the D layer, during the day, and the layer reduces the strength of radio signals that hit it. At night, without the sun's rays, the D layer effectively disappears, and the radio waves can interact more easily with the E layer, which propagates them more efficiently. This allows AM radio waves to bounce through the ionosphere at night and travel longer distances than during the day, he said. I-55, Matthews, Missouri, at 7:17 p.m. The sun has been down for more than an hour, and sure enough, as the game begins, with the Cardinal broadcasters John Rooney and Mike Shannon calling the first pitch, from Lance Lynn to Jacob Ellsbury, the reception is improving, significantly so. The D layer has apparently begun its nightly disappearing act, allowing the E layer to do its magic and send the signal to my Chrysler 200 radio. But the car is still in Missouri. It ought to get a St. Louis station. KMOX was first granted a license by the Federal Radio Commission, according to the current director of programming, Steve Moore, and called itself the Voice of St. Louis. KMOX was soon permitted to use a 50,000-watt transmitter to send its signal in all directions, and the government protected the station by limiting the power and direction of subsequent stations broadcasting on the same frequency. That allowed KMOX's signal, like other regional stations around the country, to dominate huge areas of the continental United States. It broadcasts at 1120, meaning it sends out 1,120,000 cycles per second of electromagnetic energy. Jake Meyer, a 73-year-old lawyer in St. Mary's, Pennsylvania, said he was able to follow the Cardinals as a boy despite living 713 miles from the KMOX transmitter. In the early 1950s, he sat with one hand on a wire in a radio and the other on the radiator to create the best reception, while inducing fear in his mother, who thought he might be electrocuted. Sometimes he would drive up a nearby hill for best reception, or taking a date on one occasion. Instead of making out, we listened to Jack Buck and Harry Carey do a Cardinals game, Meyer said. Today there are more stations, more structures, and more interference, and Meyer says he has trouble getting the station. But Joe Buck said that when he was going to college in Indiana University in Bloomington, he could get the games all the way there. And when he drove home on vacations, the reception steadily improved as he neared St. Louis. "It was like a beacon calling me home," he said. "My dad once showed me a letter that he received from a missionary who said he once heard the game in Tarzania. There were certain nights when the atmosphere was right that the KMOX signal would bounce all the way over there, and he could listen to the Cardinals game sitting in Tarzania." Joe Geerling, the chief engineer at KMOX, said that many factors could affect an AM signal, including the weather. "The best conditions are cold, dry nights, when people on the other side of the globe might receive the signal, however briefly. Through QSL card correspondence, distant radio reception was confirmed. I've gotten cards from people in Guam and Holland who say they heard a certain commercial at a certain time," Geerling said. "Those are unusual. But yesterday I got an email from someone in Baton Rouge, and that's not unusual at all." I-55, Blytheville, Arkansas. Crossing the border into Arkansas, the roadway deteriorates into a series of bone-rattling bumps, but the KMOX reception is improving considerably in this rural area, as the conditions for the Red Sox, who evened the score 1-1 according to Rooney and Shannon. Finding a diner or a bar where some Cardinals fans might be found in Blytheville, 227 miles south of Busch Stadium, is futile on a Sunday night. The whole town is closed, except for a gas station that sells chicken sizzled in vats behind the counter. I bought two pieces, but the bumpy road made digestion unlikely, and they went uneaten. About 20 miles later, in front of Trade World, a pawn shop on Route 140 in Osceola, Arkansas, about 240 miles from Busch Stadium, the reception is muddled and crackly. But there is no mistaking Shannon's disappointed monotone as Boston's Johnny Gnomes hits a three-run homer to give Boston a 4-1 lead. Shannon and Rooney continued the tradition of well-liked announcers at KMOX, like Jack Buck and Carey, who did games together beginning in 1954 when Buck joined Carey in the booth. Joe Garagiola came along a year later, and KMOX gained exclusive rights to the games for the next 51 years. It wasn't just the signal strength, said Bob Costas, who broadcast the Spirit of St. Louis basketball games on KMOX in the 1970s, years after he heard the signal on Long Island as a boy. It was also the quality of the guys in the booth that drew people in. Back then, Carey was not what many people remember in Chicago after his strokes. At a time when the Cardinals were the farthest outpost in baseball, he was a craftsman, bringing the game to life for people in Oklahoma, Arkansas, and Kentucky. One of those people was the Red Sox owner, John Henry, whose family moved from a farm in Illinois to a soybean and cotton farm in Forest City, Arkansas, when he was young. It was there that he tuned in to KMOX to hear Kerry, Garagiola, and Buck describe the games. "I had a great Zenith radio," Henry said, "but everyone in the area could listen even with a little transistor." And speaking of Kentucky, it was somewhat off to my left out there in the darkness. But now, not far from Memphis and northern Mississippi, as the seventh inning begins, there is incentive to get trucking. No more stopping at tiny towns looking for Cardinals fans. Now, it is the interstate all the way. Of course, with today's technology, anyone with a smartphone app could listen to the Boston station that is broadcasting the game, but that's not the point. I-55, Memphis and Arkansas Bridge. Reception is still strong as I head back across the Mississippi south of Memphis, 288 miles from home plate. The game is in the eighth inning. Tim McCarver, who is broadcasting the game with Joe Buck on television on Fox, grew up near here in Memphis listening to Buck, Kerry, and Garagiola, who were almost as important to them as players. "We would play games and do the voices at the same time," McCarver said. "The guy who did the best job imitating them that day was the one who won." In 2006, a station with a 5,000-watt signal won the rights to Cardinals games for 5 years, during which many people complained that their reception was lost. So the team returned to KMOX in 2011. I pass into Mississippi, the fifth state on the journey, as the game enters the ninth. There is a wider variety of establishments to perhaps watch the end of the game and meet a Cardinals fan in the far-flung land, someone whose roots to the team connect to the ubiquitous KMOX signal. The Hooters on Route 203 in Horn Lake, Mississippi, 310 miles from St. Louis, is the closest. Inside is Tony Davis, a Mississippi resident, watching the game. Is he a KMOX listener? Is that how he became a Cards fan? Or perhaps it was his father or grandfather who had listened to Buck and Kerry way back when. "I'm a Yankees fan," he says. With that and payment for a club soda, it's back to the car to hear the final outs of the game. The reception could not be better. It is crystal clear, as if the station were transmitting from the parking lot. Shannon wonders why the Red Sox are even bothering to hold Colton Wong on first base in a two-run game. Then, bang! To Shannon's astonishment, Wong is picked off first. Game over at 10:51 p.m. Central. I could not outrun the signal, even leaving 2.5 hours before the game. KMOX wins in a blowout. In fact, the reception is so clear, I probably could have driven straight to the Gulf of Mexico and still heard the sad post-game show. Instead, I listened to the hissing report. The content of the show is hissing, not the signal reception, as I head toward Memphis and the City of Blues Cafe for a well-deserved plate of ribs, full rack, and a last pit stop at a West Memphis gas station. And that's it, except for one thing, a 300-mile drive back to St. Louis for Game 5 the same day. Perhaps I'll listen to some music along the way. And that article was titled, "Trying to Outrun the Cardinals' Long Reach," written by David Waldstein in the New York Times on October 29th, 2013. Now to take us to part two of the DX audio service, here's Nancy Griffiths with a song called
"Listen to the Radio." Well, I am leaving Mississippi in the evening rain. Well, these filter towns, they wear satin gowns in a happy frame. Lord of the Inn guides my hands to the radio. Where would I be in times like these without the songs of Red Arrow? Cause when you can't find a friend, you still got the radio. And when you can't find a friend, you still got the radio. Oh, the radio. Oh, listen to the radio. The radio. No, we listen to the radio. It's the radio. I left a handsome two-step, the good old boy back in Tennessee. Now he's sitting on the sofa, he's looking for his supper, wondering what's it become of me. I got a double OAT marked guitar in the backseat of the car. And I am leaving Mississippi with the radio. Cause when you can't find a friend, you still got the radio. And when you can't find a friend, you still got the radio. Oh, the radio. It's the radio. No, we listen to the radio. Oh, the radio. Listen to the radio. It's the radio. There's a moon across the border in the Louisiana sky. I smell the puncture train, I hear silver wings, and then away Merle Haggard fly. And that good old boy will find a band of gold on the stereo. Hey, then my mama's gonna call, see where she's gone. He'll say, down the road with the radio. Oh, when you can't find a friend, just look up the radio. And when you can't find a friend, you still got the radio. Oh, the radio. Oh, listen to the radio. The radio. No, we listen to the radio. Oh, the radio. Oh, listen to the radio. It's the radio. No, we listen to the radio. Oh, the radio. And then down the road, you're gonna rock and roll.